A second example of politicized science is quite different in character, but it exemplifies the hazards of government ideology controlling the work of science and of uncritical media promoting false concepts. Trofim Denisovich Lysenko was a self-promoting peasant who, it was said, solved the problem of fertilizing the fields without fertilizers and minerals. In 1928, he claimed to have invented a procedure called vernalization, by which seeds were moistened and chilled to enhance the later growth of crops. Lysenko's methods never faced a rigorous test, but his claim that his treated seeds passed on their characteristics to the next generation represented a revival of Lamarckian ideas at a time when the rest of the world was embracing Mendelian genetics. Yosef Stalin was drawn to Lamarckian ideas, which implied a future unbounded by hereditary constraints. He also wanted improved agricultural production. Lysenko promised both and became the darling of a Soviet media that was on the lookout for stories about clever peasants who had developed revolutionary procedures. Lysenko was portrayed as a genius, and he milked his celebrity for all it was worth. He was especially skillful at denouncing his opponents. He used questionnaires from farmers to prove that vernalization increased crop yields and thus avoided any direct tests. Carried on a wave of state-sponsored enthusiasm, his rise was rapid. By 1937, he was a member of the Supreme Soviet. By then, Lysenko and his theories dominated Russian biology. The result was famines that killed millions, and purges that sent hundreds of dissenting Soviet scientists to the gulags or the firing squads. Lysenko was aggressive in attacking genetics, which was finally banned as bourgeois pseudoscience in 1948. There was never any basis for Lysenko's ideas, yet he controlled Soviet research for 30 years. Lysenkoism ended in the 1960s, but Russian biology still has not entirely recovered from that era. Now we are engaged in a great new theory that once again has drawn the support of politicians, scientists, and celebrities around the world. Once again, the theory is promoted by major foundations. Once again, the research is carried out at prestigious universities. Once again, legislation is passed and social programs are urged in its name. Once again, critics are few and harshly dealt with. Once again, the measures being urged have little basis in fact or science. Once again, groups with other agendas are hiding behind a movement that appears high-minded. Once again, claims of moral superiority are used to justify extreme actions. Once again, the fact that some people are hurt is shrugged off because an abstract cause is said to be greater than any human consequences. Once again, vague terms like sustainability and generational justice, terms that have no agreed definition, are employed in the service of a new crisis. I am not arguing that global warming is the same as eugenics, but the similarities are not superficial, and I do claim that open and frank discussion of the data and of the issues is being suppressed. Leading scientific journals have taken strong editorial positions on the side of global warming, which, I argue, they have no business doing. Under the circumstances, any scientist who has doubts understands clearly that they will be wise to mute their expression. One proof of this suppression is the fact that so many of the outspoken critics of global warming are retired professors. These individuals are no longer seeking grants and no longer have to face colleagues whose grant applications and career advancement may be jeopardized by their criticisms. In science, the old men are usually wrong. But in politics, the old men are wise, counsel caution, and in the end, are often right. The past history of human belief is a cautionary tale. We have killed thousands of our fellow human beings because we believe they had signed a contract with the devil and had become witches. We still kill more than 1,000 people each year for witchcraft. In my view, there is only one hope for humankind to emerge from what Carl Sagan called the demon-haunted world of our past. That hope is science. But as Alston Chase put it, when the search for truth is confused with political advocacy, the pursuit of knowledge is reduced to the quest for power. That is the danger we now face. And that is why the intermixing of science and politics is a bad combination with a bad history. We must remember the history and be certain that what we present to the world as knowledge is disinterested and honest.